I'm not saying anything like that, but my family is back east, and he told me to record this, so I guess he's going to check up on me if I lied. First of all, I'd like to thank the land for inviting me to come down and speak, and I know Washington probably had something to do with that too. He's a good friend of mine, so I really appreciate that. I'd like to start off by welcoming the newcomers. Okay? I had an opportunity to talk to a couple of people that have just come back, and you know, they're in my heart. You know, I told them that I would share a little bit about my experience too, and part of my experience is the relapse as well. And so, you know, I'll start off with that. I'm not going to talk a lot about what it used to be like, you know, and the reason being is I wouldn't be having Narcotics Anonymous view, but I didn't have the same problem that you had. However, when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, I was looking for differences. I was different than you. I had control issues. It was about the fact that I was always in control of my life because basically after I started working the steps where I found out I was really, really afraid. I was afraid of almost everything. And it started very early on, and what happened was that I started reacting off of that. You know, I wanted to become a chameleon. I wanted to show you that I was somebody different than who I really was, and that's what was my great attraction just in the beginning. You know, I was telling Danny that the end for me was this. I had a job, so I was in control, right? Been with this job for a long time. I was doing something I said I'd never do. I was using it at work. And I said I'd never ever do that again. And I got caught doing that. And by that time, the old lady had already left. You know, she had stopped using drugs. She used drugs right along with me from the time that we were married till probably about 7 years before I got into recovery. And then she decided one day she wanted to stop. And so I said, fine, that's more drugs for me. So that's what I did. I came into Narcotics Anonymous looking for differences. You know, I thought that because you didn't use the drug I did, or I didn't use the drug that you did, that's what separated me from becoming an addict. The bottom line was I wasn't really ready to quit. You know, so when I came in the meeting, they were talking about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, I struck out on all three. Like, number one, I wasn't ready to quit, so how in the world was I going to tell you that? See, I was too afraid to tell you that. I wasn't open-minded either because if I started identifying with you, what would happen is that I'd have to be like you. And I didn't want to do that because I still wanted to go back out there and use. I wasn't willing to do that either. What happened for me was that I was mandated to go to meetings. I was in the 28-day program, similar to the one that you're in. You know, while I was there, I didn't do anything to focus on me. Yeah, you do have a problem. Yeah, you do have a problem. There was a nurse in our program who was stealing morphine from patients, terminally ill patients, no less. And she had a problem. And I made sure that she did, that she had a problem, because I didn't do that. But, you know, what I kept having to think about was that the aim for me was this way. The wife had already left, so did the kids. And I was living in a two-bedroom apartment. I still had the house. I was letting my dealer live there so that I had access to drugs. And I had not paid any rent on this apartment that I got from my wife for a long period of time. And so after she left, I tried to do more and more drugs to try and hide behind the fear. And the fears were that I felt like I was a threat. And it was just the same kind of feeling I felt like when I was about 3 years old and my mother left me and took off on my dad. And I thought it was my fault. It was something that I had done wrong. So I felt like a failure. And so what happened is that, and I want to back up a little bit. Back in those days, what happened is that, and the reason I'm going to talk about this is because I just sat down with 6 hours with a sponsee on Sunday. And we talked about the same things that he was experiencing that I've experienced, because I was just sharing my experience with him. And that is that I didn't learn this until I started working the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. That is that at some point in time in my life, I established a belief system that I lived by. And so when you're afraid, and you have to be somebody different to not be afraid, then that's what I established my belief system around. See, she left me because I didn't do anything right. Okay? And then I get to visit her like during the summers, and she would have a different husband. She married 6 different times, right? So there's always somebody different. And she would always say the same thing to me. Bobby, I love you. I love you. Right? And I used to love the fact that she would put her arms around me and make me feel like I was loved. But then in the back of my mind, my belief system was saying, no, you don't. If you did, you would have still stayed there, right? And if you love this guy, then more than likely, I don't want that kind of love. So I made a decision. The decision that I made was to get it out of my life. And the reason that I'm bringing that up is because that had a direct effect in my steps on how I treat women, okay? And so I have a distorted belief system. That distorted belief system says that what you need to do, Bobby, is you need to be in control. At all costs, it didn't matter what those costs were. So when I was in the house or the apartment, when I was taking the hair off of the crack pipe, and I took a deep hit, and I would go into a seizure. And I'd come to, and the pipe would be laying next to me. And my first thought was, man, that was good shit, so I need to hit it again, right? But really deep down inside, what was happening was I was getting ready to reach the bottom. I know that today. I just didn't understand what was happening. So what I did, I reverted back to that little boy who was always afraid, and I was going, hold it. The thing that's been working for me all this time in drugs is now going to abandon me again, just like my mother did. So I was really, really afraid. And so I picked up the pipe again, I took another hit off, and I go back into a seizure again. And, but see, I still didn't have a problem. I went into a 28-day program, and all I'm doing is looking for the differences. Because in my mind, that distorted belief system is saying, you know what? Just take 28 days off. You never had 28-day break without using drugs for a long, long time. See if that works, okay? And I'm sitting in these meetings, and I thought it's anonymous, and I like to hear people talking about this is a progressive disease. This is a progressive disease. I didn't understand what that meant. You know? I thought they were talking from the time I used, it's progressed to this, but if I take a break, it's going to start over. And that's not the way that it happened. That's not the way that it happened. So what I did is I stayed in here, and I heard just a few of those things. But see, because when you don't have an open mind, and I'm talking about me, not you, okay? When you don't have an open mind, what you do is you close off all the possibilities of any kind of hope. Because you're running on self-will, and that's what I was doing. I've been doing that all my life. You know, and then, you know, they gave me a basic text, and I picked up the basic text, and I read it, and it talks in there about surrender. And that was a very foreign word to me. What do you mean, surrender? It's like, I'm not willing to do that. So any insanity that I did was, I got discharged from that recovery home at 28 days, I was doing outpatient, and I remember it was the third day after I got out. I was sitting there in outpatient, we were sitting around in a circle, and you could tell that one of the guys had used. Matter of fact, he was crying and all that, and he came back and said, hey, I went back out, you know, I don't have any control, and I'll never forget what this therapist did. He reached over in his chair, screamed forward toward the guy, and said to him, you know what, sometimes relapse is a good thing. And that was my ticket to go. I was going, okay, he just gave me permission to go out and do that. You know, not even looking at how the dude was and how he was all tore up. So I went out and I did that. And I'd like to tell you that I came back to the meetings and I thought it's an honest to tell the truth. I didn't. Because my liquid was more important. I needed to be in control. And so I stayed in meetings and I thought it's an honest. I picked up chips when I didn't earn them, and what happened was that that belief system that I had was starting to fall apart, because what I started hearing was the hope that was available in my thought of tomorrow. That if you do these things, that good things are going to happen to you. But, I mean, it can't happen to you if you're not honest. So when they talked about honesty in the beginning, I kind of related to, oh, I give a cashier 20 bucks, and she gives me 30 bucks back in change, right? What they were talking about that I didn't know at the time was that honesty that you have to have within yourself. And, you know, and, you know, today, I have to look at that every morning. Every morning I got to look and see how honest I am with me. Because the bottom line is that if I continue to surrender and I'm not in control and I turn that control over to something bigger than myself, what happens? I continue getting the results. I have a phrase that a sponsor used with me that I always use with my sponsors too as well. When they call me up, they tell me, you know what, Bobby, I'm really afraid because the law is coming after me. I know that there's a warrant out of Oklahoma that's coming to get me, blah, 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 right? I just tell them this, number one. Is that, is that going to happen today? And they go, no. I said, then walk through it, right? And as soon as they walk through it, they get past it, I tell them, put it in the bank. Because if I start using that and putting those kinds of things in the bank, the good things that happen to me, what happens, I'll have some hope when the next big crisis comes up. So, I went to a meeting and today, I was going down to pick up a 90-day chip. And at that time, they were giving chips at the end of the meeting. And when it came to introducing a newcomer, a guy stood up and he says, you know what, I went back out. And I'd like to tell you that I went there with the intentions of saying that so did I, but I did not. But I was tired of like looking down at my feet, knowing that I had lied. And so something told me to stand up. And I really felt like something picked me up by the shirt and made me stand up. I don't consciously remember doing this, but I do remember saying, so did I. And then what happened to me was all the emotions broke out. It was like, for the very first time, I've gotten honest with myself, and I started crying like a little baby, and I was expecting this amount of rejection, and it never happened. What happened at the end of the meeting was everybody in that meeting came up to me and told me, keep coming back. We're glad that you got honest. Keep coming back. And I kind of like took that experience and I put it in the bank like my sponsor told me to and said, just remember how that felt. And so that's what I did and that's what I continue to do today. Because 8 months later, life showed up and I had 8 months clean my dad falls off of a tractor, gets a kidney infection and he's in the hospital and I'm doing the responsible thing. I'm showing up. With the direction of my sponsor, not knowing what to say, they put him in a coma to take him out of the pain, and he never recovers out of that coma. And so what I did was I did what I heard somebody else do in the meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. I was out of town. I wasn't in my hometown. I went to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and I talked about how I was feeling, you know. At that time, I was working on a fourth step, and my dad was on that list. And I'd already started identifying what my part was. The exact nature is what my part was. You know, I want to kind of mention this here. I've done several four steps. As a matter of fact, I just finished another one as well. The very first one I thought about the exact nature of my wrongs was what I did. The damage I did to my kids, the damage that I did to all those other people, the people I stole from, the people I beat up, all of that, right? And I was, again, had a distorted thinking system. The exact natures of my wrongs are the things that I decided needed to happen. And what decisions I made from that, when my dad died, my dad was my hero. You know, he was kind of the guy who everybody in the community looked up to, right? And I always tried to fill his shoes and I never felt like I could measure up to that. But it still made him my hero. At some point in time, during my lifetime, what I did is I decided to become somebody different than that. I needed to tear him down to make me feel good. Kind of like what I did in meetings early on, too. Is that I tear you down to make me feel good. See, I know how to do that. If I'm hurting emotionally inside, then what I'll do is I'll use that against you. Because I want you to feel how I felt. So I made this decision to separate myself from my dad, I was on a mission. The mission was that I want him to hurt because he's making me hurt. And so every time that he would tell me to do something, I'd do something the opposite. If he believed in something, I believed in just the opposite. And then when I did the guilty thing, I gathered people around and said, come on, be on my side against him. And I had to face all that, but I had just written that all down in the first step. And I'm sitting there at his bedside, not knowing what to do. But he was in a coma, thank God, because what it allowed me to be able to do is to talk to him out loud and tell him that I'd made a mistake. and that you know, he only had a certain amount of skills, or he just did the best job that he could. Now, I believe and truly believe that. Once I understood that it was my fault for becoming the devil's advocate. So when I started looking at what my side of the thing was, I started looking at people differently. Now that was just the beginning. I got an opportunity to be able to say to him that I knew that his major concern was about dying, and it was okay for him to go. And that was that my stepmother was to be taken care of, because he loved her a lot, and he would do anything for her. And so I made that commitment to her, and I continue to do that today. You know, she's now in the beginning stages of dementia, and I'm having to make some really hard decisions about how the people pleasing part of me doesn't affect how I take care of her. Because, you know, she's blowing money. I've got a sister who's out there with a gambling addiction that's blowing her money too, and I'm now having to put my foot down and become the person who I said I was going to be. And that was that person that I told my dad would be responsible and take care of things that he had some concerns about. I didn't know what a trade that was going to be. But here's what's happening, okay? The same thing that I was having is to be a narcotics phenomenon. If you notice, there's a support group that came up with me, okay? If you don't have a support group, I would suggest you get one, okay? These are the people that step up when you need the help the most, okay? In the very beginning, my sponsor told me to do that, to start reaching out. I'd like to thank the person who's the greeter at the meeting. You know, my sponsor made me stand at that meeting because I didn't want to meet other people, just so that I could introduce myself to you and start breaking down and surrendering a little bit to the fact that I'm an addict and I need to make myself available to you. Self-centeredness is the core of my disease. I'm only thinking about me first. It's taken a lot of time to be able to look at that and not be saying prayers in the morning for me. It's about saying prayers for others. So that person who steps out there and welcomes the newcomer in, that's one of the things I remember when I walked in with my daughter from Honest. Somebody stepped their hand out to me. That's very important. And I continue to try and do that today. So if I don't know you, I would hope that eventually at some point in time I do get to know you. Hopefully we'll keep coming back up here, and if I don't walk up to you and introduce myself to you, please walk up to me and remind me that I said I was going to do that, okay? this program has turned my life completely around. You know, the discovery I made about relationships with women, I've turned that around too as well. I married my wife, and when I married her, we were both using addicts. And 3 years into my recovery, there was a group of people in Narcotics Anonymous that were married to, that didn't like the direction that their marriages were going, so we formed this couples group. We hired a professional to come in with the couples group, and we started getting get low with each other about things that we need, how to ask for things that you need, how to eliminate the self-centeredness of my disease and my marriage. And we did that for 8 years. And what's transpired from that is that she found somebody that she never knew before. You know, somebody who's a little bit more caring, who didn't think about himself first. He started thinking about what it is that she needs. I learned to communicate in a different way. You know, women don't have a tendency to come out and say what they need, right? You got to kind of like pry it out of them sometimes. But I learned patience from that too. And July 10th of this year, her and I celebrate 42 years together. And that's the direct result of my Narcotics Anonymous. All I had to do was just get honest with myself. I am an addict. I'm an addict today. I'm no different than I was the first day I walked in to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. The only difference is that I now have a program that teaches me those spiritual principles that Poncho was talking about. If you don't know what they are, you haven't picked up the basic text of the flat book, okay? So at the end of every step, there is a spiritual principle that we can learn how to apply, and that's what I've learned how to do. Things like love. How do I demonstrate love? Especially when somebody's yelling at me. See, I can't handle that too well. Right? How am I supposed to demonstrate love to them? Patience. How do I have patience with something I don't necessarily agree with? I was just in I like to tell you I'm perfect too, right? I had a sponsor call me up the radio and he goes, I really don't like what happened at good conscience. You know what I'm talking about?
as you guys raise that Baptist up to 12 bucks, and I catch myself trying to defend that, you know? And then he goes, well, I'm entitled to my opinion. I said, yeah, but, you know, it's like, and then I'm going, hold it. You know, how am I demonstrating to him the spiritual principle of patience and tolerance when, in fact, I'm trying to convince him that he needs to change his mind? And so, what I had to do is I learned how to do it in Narcotics Anonymous. And that is, the other spiritual principle is I give up. I call him back the next day and I told him, look, I didn't mean to tell you last night and I was wrong. You know? And I will not do that again. That's my goal. It's not about what I did, it's about the fact that I don't want to go back down that road again. Will I make the same mistake? Probably. Right? If I want to keep coming back here and you guys telling me what it is that I need to do. See, today I'm not that intolerant person. I don't see any differences between you and me anymore. I look for the similarities. The similarities are, number one, is we need to stay clean. On August 6th of 1988, was that day I stood up and said I was an addict. I haven't had a use then. Thanks to the program Narcotics Anonymous. So in that, another 40 days, I'm going to be celebrating 22 years clean. What I did was I showed up here defiant, right, and intolerant of people, not trying to identify, and once I started breaking some of those layers of onion away, then I finally started knowing where serenity was coming from. Serenity was not me being in control. It was about giving up the control and trusting, just like what Pancho was talking about there, like it says in the program. That is, I have to accept everything that's happening around me because I'm not God. Somebody else is, not me. And the way that I do that is I don't just say it anymore. I have to demonstrate it. It's kind of like being powerless and my life is unmanageable. See, I can say that all I want. But the key is, how am I putting that into action? The way that I demonstrate that I'm powerless is I keep coming back here. I talk to my sponsor a minimum of 2 or 3 times a week. I work with others. I have a jail commitment. That's how I'm powerless. Because it's not because I'm patting myself on the back. It's because if I don't continue to do those things, then I've got a dilemma. The dilemma is that I think I've got the power back. And what I get from that is unmanageability. And so, I have a little bit of a way to look at it a little bit differently today. Because I've been putting a lot of stuff in the bank in that savings account. Since I've been clean, I had to bury my mother 3 years ago. And as a matter of fact, on the way up here, I took this recorder, and on the recorder, I turned it on, and one of them was my mother about 3 days before she died. And she was talking to my daughter, and I can't tell you how much that means to me. You know that love that I used to push away from her? I was able to listen to her call me up one day and say to me, Bobby, I need you up here. I need you to come up here, you and I need to have a talk. And so what I did is I learned how to sit down in front of her and listen. I had to learn how to listen to what she was saying. Because my head was going off. I was going, oh yeah, when she wants this, she wants that. You know, this is going to happen, or that's going to happen. And then I finally had to say, hey, shut up. Now, I don't know if you guys do that, but I got to do that once in a while. I got to say, shut up out loud, because this lady has to tell me another lie. And what happened was, she sat me down and she goes, I want you to handle what's happening to me. I've had a lump on my breast for over 3 years. It's now turning black. And I probably am not going to be alive for too much longer. And so I did what was necessary. And that's how I made a direct amendment, is I just went there and I listened. And whatever she wanted, I tried to fulfill. And I dropped all that stuff about why I didn't think that she loved me. And I got through that. I got through that, through the support of my support group. She was up in Vallejo, California, and I went into a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous up there, and I talked about that. And everybody came up to me afterwards and said, you know, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. Here's my telephone number. If you need me to be there for you, I'll be there. But see, if I didn't go there and I didn't tell them that, then I wouldn't have got the help that I needed. I was talking to this gentleman back here in the back, and he was talking about being nominal clean, and I shared some experience with him. Let me tell you what happened to me at 9 months clean. At 9 months clean, I was starting to feel really good because good things were happening and I hadn't used in a long time. I was moving up on 1 year clean and it was something I'd never ever done before. Good things were happening, the marriage was coming back together. You know, the kids were talking, at least one of the kids was talking to me again. And there's something unconsciously that happens to us that had low self-esteem that tells me that I need to sabotage this. So I started taking some actions to sabotage that. It wasn't like a conscious thought. I think I'd get up today and yell at my wife. Right? It was like one of those things. I had to do a little first step on that again. What is the exact nature of my law? Because I've got a distorted belief system that tells me that I don't deserve this. Right? I don't deserve this. And so what I've got to do is I've got to apply the program and start saying things. My sponsor really starts saying 5 affirmations every day. Good things about me. But I really believe it. And he said, keep doing it until you believe it. And so what I got from that was, today I am worth it. I am worth it. That's what I want to pass on to you. Is that you too can have that too. But the key behind it is this. I need to get outside myself and start passing the message on to people in Narcotics Anonymous. When the newcomer walks in the door, or the guy walks in and just relapsed, instead of saying to him, oh, you did it again, huh? What I needed to say to him was that, I'm glad that you're back. And thank you for coming back. Because I know what it felt like when those people told me that when I got back. So, I guess we're running out of time. I want to share this one story. On the way up here today, I got a call from my youngest daughter. A couple of months ago, she told me that she was pregnant. And we had a little bit of concern with a grandson that I had for her. Oh, by the way, this is the daughter who, when I went up to her and made started to make amends to her, she didn't want anything to do with me. She would not allow me to be able to make an amends to her. She didn't want to hear it. And so, when somehow in my mind, I believe that to be about a 7-year period before she actually started talking to me again. She reminded me the other day that it's been 15 years. So 15 years she cut me out of her life because of the damage that I've done to her. And so what I did was I dealt with the disappointment and I just continued to do the things my sponsor led me to do. And that is, you continue to call her on a regular basis, you tell her what you love her, and stay out of the result. And so we got, she called me today. Dad, I went and I got Connor into the doctor, and we were kind of concerned about because he's 2 years old and hasn't talked yet. And so, you know, we suggested that she try and go get some help. And so she did. She finally got that, and she wanted to share that with me. And when she started talking to me, her voice broke up. Right? And I don't know what that emotion was, but I asked her, you know, hey, Ron, are you okay? You know, it sounds like you're getting ready to cry. And it's those kinds of things that keep me coming back here. I don't know that using is an option for me anymore. You know what I mean? I don't think about it anymore. The session's been lifted. But for those of you that are fairly new, eventually that will happen for you too. But you have to do the work. And I've done that too. I stepped away and not did the work in the program because I have this belief system that tells me that if good things happen to me, I'm not worth it. Okay? I'm not worth it, so don't do it. So give yourself a break. You know, I don't usually tell people what to do, but give yourself a break. If I told you that, and I'm sure everybody's heard this, right? Because that's what I heard in the beginning. Oh man, when you do a first step, be fair, right? So there's such a fear in me about that. But if I told you that my experience about working a first step is about doing something good for yourself, and then in turn you'll be able to do something good for somebody else, take that thought with you when you pick up the pen and the paper. Now, I didn't say that the emotions you're going to feel when you do that are not going to be okay. But you already have the basic tools, just like they were given to me. That's why they tell you, get a friend list in the beginning. Get a support group. Find somebody that you can reach out to and say, hey, this is screwed up, man, the way I'm feeling about writing this. And then what they'll do is that's probably telling you they have the same experience, but they walked through it and they came out with a solution. And the solutions are in this step. And so, again, I want to thank everybody for allowing me to come up here and share. Hopefully you have a good day. Okay?